now time for the Bible Answers program, in which we present a frank and earnest discussion of Bible truths in an endeavor to answer your Bible questions. Our subject for this program is Prepare to Meet Thy God. If you would like a copy of the Bible Answers magazine without cost, send your request to the Bible Answers, Box 60, General Post Office, New York City. Fear seems to be one of the impelling forces of Christianity, even though most of us think that the motive of Christianity should be love, as revealed through the gospel of Jesus Christ. So many of us have fears. We fear death. Actually, many of us are really afraid to die. But first, may I tell our listeners that this program is from the Dawn Bible Students Association, publishers of the Dawn magazine, in cooperation with many Bible study groups and by the friends of Frank and Ernest everywhere. So now, Frank, my first question. Is the fear of death justified?
Absolutely not. I think a very definite answer to your question is found in the prophecy of Isaiah, chapter 29, verse 13. This text reads, "Wherefore the Lord said, Forasmuch as this people draw near me with their mouth, and with their lips do honor me, but have removed their heart far from me, and their fear toward me is taught by the precept of men." The thought being that to fear death in the sense of dreading what God might do to us is a human viewpoint, not authorized by the Lord Himself, being taught by the precept of men.
Thank you. But here is another scripture, "Prepare to meet thy God." Doesn't that suggest fear as a motive for being prepared to die?
Not really, Russell. In the first place, it is not an admonition to be prepared for death. The text is Amos, the fourth chapter, verse 12. I might add that this is the only place in the entire Bible where the expression, "prepare to meet thy God," appears. The statement, "prepare to meet thy God," was simply another way of saying to the people of Israel that they should return to God. Thus they would meet Him again and enjoy His favor and blessing.
Well, what do you know about that? Well, thank you. According to that, the expression has no reference at all to meeting God after death. But, Frank, is it possible for anyone to meet God before death?
Yes, the Bible frequently uses language similar to this when describing God's relationship to His people. There is the admonition, for example, "Draw nigh to God, and He will draw nigh to you." The people of Israel had drifted far away from the Lord, and He admonished them to return to Him, to meet Him, and once more enjoy His presence with them.
Is it not essential to be prepared for death, though? That is, religiously speaking?
To me, the Bible teaches that preparation for death is practically a lifetime effort. But the motive prompting such Christian endeavor should be love, not fear. It is the love of God that should inspire us to reverence and serve Him.
Frank, isn't it fear that induces sinners to repent?
The Bible says that it is the goodness of God that leadeth to repentance. And not only to repentance, but to the full surrender of one's life to do the will of God. Paul explains that because Christ loved us and gave Himself for us, we do not belong to ourselves, but to Him. Thus the Christian dedicates his life to the Lord and proves his faithfulness by laying down his life in the Lord's service.
Yes, I remember. Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life.
Yes, and in this again, you see, the motive is not fear of punishment, but the hope of reward, of being with Jesus and sharing the crown of life with him. For the Christian, a long and sustained effort in seeking to know and to do God's will is essential in order to be prepared for the glorious reward which is offered in the Bible to every faithful overcomer.
But Frank, what about non-Christians? What about unbelievers? Isn't it essential to their future happiness that they repent and turn to the Lord before they die? Can a person go right on sinning throughout his entire life and not suffer the consequences after he dies?
Well, the Apostle Paul, in writing to Christians, laid down a principle which is fundamentally true with respect to non-Christians also. It is that whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. No one can escape the consequences of his own wrongdoing. The Bible makes that point clear. However, if one reformed his life only because he feared future punishment, he still would not be pleasing to God, for his repentance would not be prompted by love for God and for righteousness.
You know, Frank, that seems reasonable to me. But still, you have not fully answered my question. Let me put it another way. If one does not repent and return to God before death, will he have a future opportunity to be saved?
Yes, I believe so, at least in most cases.
Why in most cases, but not in all cases?
Well, it is a matter of whether or not one is a willful sinner. By a willful sinner, I mean one who is fully enlightened concerning God and continues to sin against that light. The Bible, for example, teaches that such sinners as the ancient Sodomites will be given an opportunity in the future judgment day of the world.
The Sodomites, of course, lived and died many centuries before Christ came and would have had no opportunity to believe on Jesus Christ. And I suppose that should make a difference.
Oh, it surely would. And there have been millions who have lived and died since who had no opportunity to accept the grace of God through Christ. Now the death of Jesus as the Redeemer and Savior of the world guarantees that Adam and every one of his descendants will have a full, fair opportunity to know about this provision of God's love and to accept it, either in this life or when they are raised from the dead.
And your thought is that many will receive their first opportunity beyond the grave.
Yes. And why shouldn't it be so? Why should the fact that an individual falls asleep in death change the operation of God's grace toward him? The whole world is under condemnation to death in any event, and all are dying. Some die at a very early age, some live to what we call middle age, and some to old age. If you argue that God limits the exercise of his grace toward unbelievers within the confines of this life, you would have to say he shows partiality, giving some 25 years in which to turn to him, some 50, some 75, and a few even as many as 90 or 100 years.
But even so, Frank, millions have heard the gospel and have not believed. What about these? Should these fear death?
Not at all. Jesus gives us a direct answer to that question. He said, "If any man hear my words and believe not, I judge him not." Then he added, "The word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day."
But according to that, he is to be judged upon the basis of the light which he has heard.
Correct. And if he then believes, he will receive life. The Apostle Paul spoke of the present day of salvation. This is not the only day of salvation. The other day of salvation will be the 1,000-year period of Christ's reign. That also will be a 1,000-year judgment day, or a period of probation, as the thought is given in the Greek text. Those who awaken from the sleep of death during that day and then believe will live on the earth forever.
Then there will be no possibility of anyone misunderstanding them.
Yes, and all these points are discussed in detail in the little book, When a Man Dies. Russell, will you tell our listeners about this little book and how they may get a copy free?
Yes, I'll be glad to, Frank. At one time or another, all of us wonder about a future life. Our sponsors do not claim that when a man dies answers all the questions which might be raised with respect to this subject, but here are some that when a man dies does answer. What is a human soul? Is it mortal or immortal? What is the Bible hell? Why did the prophet Job pray to go to hell? Who possesses the keys of hell, and how will they be used? How do we know that there is hope for millions who have died in unbelief? The Bible informs us that hell will be destroyed. So we ask, when and how will hell be destroyed? These are only a few of the questions to which, when a man dies, gives the scriptural answers. And we invite you to send now for When a Man Dies. Address your request to Frank and Ernest, Box 60, General Post Office, New York City. The address again, Frank and Ernest, Box 60, General Post Office, New York City. Ask for When a Man Dies. A card or a letter will do, and the book will be mailed to you free and without obligation.
Send for your free booklet today. Mail your request to Frank and Ernest, Post Office Box 60, New York, New York, 10116. To repeat, mail your request to Frank and Ernest, P.O. Box 60, New York, New York, 10116. Or call this toll-free number, 1-800-234-DAWN. That's 1-800-234-DAWN. The booklet will be sent to you free and without obligation. This program is brought to you each week by the Dawn Bible Students Association in cooperation with local Bible study groups and by the many friends of Frank and Ernest everywhere. To repeat, call toll-free the following number, 1-800-234-DAWN. That is 1-800-234-DAWN to receive without obligation the free booklet offered. Please include the call letters of this station with your request. Ask your friends to listen to our program, won't you please? And now, goodbye, and may God bless you.